Have a Bible, go with me to Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter. Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter. Verses 26 through 29. And you have it, say amen. The word of God declares, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring and grow up, and he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and intention. For the word, and the word only, is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It is the only thing in the universe that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. So we pray that you speak such a word to us today that it changes everything, and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. That it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive that word, and anoint every ear so that it can hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. Do whatever you want to do. This is your house. So I release your ministering angels into this atmosphere to heal, to deliver, to set free, to do what only you can do. And we'll give you all the glory for it. We also bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And we say, God, move in this place as you see fit. And we'll bless your name forever. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, you agree, shout amen. Before you take your seat, you know how we do it, KLC. Turn to your neighbor. Come on. Smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. You know you got gold teeth. Go on, show them. That's all right. That's all right. It's all right. Look at your neighbor and say, have faith in the process. Before you sit down, find somebody else and just do me a quick favor and high five them before you sit down and say, because the harvest is here. It's here. It's here. It's here. It's here. It's here. It's here. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject faith in the process. And I want to speak in two streams, if you will. And the final stream I'll give you first is the prophetic. I want to prophetically declare some things in your life, just like I did on Wednesday night. But before I can declare the prophetic, I must first preach the gospel to you. because I have to preach it, I have to preach it in a way that destroys your unbelief. Because the Bible says teaching destroys unbelief. When we look at Mark's gospel, the fourth chapter, we find, of course, the noted parables of the sower. And we find an explanation of that parable immediately following the story. We know the story of the Lord, of course, telling this small story of somebody that went out to sow, and he sowed four specific times, and in the soil that he sowed into was all the same soil, but some of the soil had issues in it. But in each case, no matter what the issues were in the soil, the seed was still able to produce something. In the context of the story, when you examine its content, you will see that there is no differentiation in terms of the seed. Each soil got the same seed, but the soil was the thing that had the problem. Whether it was wayside soil or stony soil, or whether the soil was so scorched, if you will, by the sun that the roots had withered away, and so forth and so on. And as we begin to declare that and understand that, you then have to realize that the power then of the whole narrative is not so much in the soil, but in the seed. The seed is the thing that contains the power. And because the seed contains the power, the soil is already preconditioned to be able to handle the seed. This is why, no matter what problems was in the soil, the seed was still able to produce something. It was just that the soil couldn't do its part and sustain what the seed was able to produce. What I'm trying to say to you is that whatever God puts in your life, he has already given you the ability to sustain it to the point where you're not losing the stuff that you have gained. In other words, life will throw you all types of blows. We live in a day and age that is absolutely off the chain. It is crazy out here. And now I can't tell you how many funerals I've done in the last few weeks of people losing their life way before their time. I cannot tell you of the tragedies that ring my phone constantly and consistently of people going through all types of horrific events. And you and I must understand it is the seed of God, which he explains in the parable, that has the power to sustain everything that God has done and wants to do in our life. He goes on to explain the parable, and he says the parable is, of course, in nature or context, the seed, if you will, is the word of God. The sower, if you will, is the Father. And so he tells us that the sower sows the word. It is the word that is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of your heart. It is the word that cannot return unto the Lord void, but must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper in the thing that he sent it to. It's the word, if you will, that will be a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. It is the word that if you hide it in your heart, you will not sin against the Lord. It is the word of God that if you meditate on it day and night, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Your leaf won't wither. And the Bible goes on to say, whatever you choose to do, it will prosper. It is the word that'll get the enemy off your back. It is the word that is your buckler and your shield and your defense. It is your word that you can't do anything against or about, even when you want to quit or throw in the towel and want to lose heart and faint and fade away. The word of God will be like fire shut up in your bones. When you don't have the words to say, the word will birth up out of you and begin to speak all on its own accord, even though you don't know or feel like you're going to make it. Am I talking to anybody in here? It's the word. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's the word. It's the word. It's the word. One word from God can completely and totally turn everything around in a moment and in an instance. And when God speaks a word, it cannot be reversed. That means you are irreversibly blessed, because the moment God decided to speak a word over your life, it is so. It is concrete. It is absolute. And nobody and nothing can do anything about it. Slap your name and say, the word is working. The word is working. The word is working. I feel like preaching in here. You don't even know the word that's working out for you at this very moment. For the Bible says that God goes ahead of us and make the crooked places straight. Slap your name and say, the word is working. Come on here. You don't know the prophetic words that was declared over your life that's down the road in your future, working on something you have no idea about. Come on, look at your neighbor again and say, I feel the word working, the word working, the word working. The word works, the word works. And when you work the word, there's nothing in your life that can stop you. The word of God is so powerful, but it's also a process. The word doesn't come to fruition overnight. It doesn't always happen in an instant. It doesn't always happen on your timetable. Nor does it always happen in the environment in which you want it to happen in. So the Bible admonishes us in the book of Hebrews that we are to imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what has been promised. That's Hebrews 6:12. The writer of Hebrews also lets us know that we need to preserve, or we need to have this patience so that we can receive the promise. Because when you have long patience, you can always win. Patience ensures that eventually the success of your plan is going to happen. Patience, if you will, ensures that you're going to have peace in the midst of absolute uncertainty. Patience makes you understand that you can overcome any adversity. The Bible says, better is a patient man than a warrior, and a man who corrupts his temper than one who takes a city. In other words, patience has more power than the fight that you want to fight right now. You have to understand, if you can become a patient individual, you'll win the race. But let patience have its perfect work in you so that you can be complete, entire, whole, wanting nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, you have need of patience. Come on here. I don't have help from nobody. And the reason I don't want help, because you don't want to wait for nothing. Waiting doesn't mean you're sitting back doing nothing. It means they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Meaning, while God is working something out for you in the soil, y'all ain't said nothing. You're giving him glory in the process, because you know that all things are working together in conjunction for your good. Slap your name and say, between here and there, there's a shout. I feel like preaching. Between where you are and where God said you should be, there should be a constant serving and waiting on the Lord. There should be, I will bless the name of the Lord at all times. There should be a yet praise in your mouth. There should be, I can't get help. There should be a clapping of the hands. There should be a dancing and a joy in your spirit. There should be an expectation of your future outcome, because you know the plans that God has toward you. Who am I preaching to in here? There should be a never-ending praise on your lips. And when you don't feel like you're going to make it, that's when you begin to call on the name of the Lord and use your right and privilege as a child of God and say, Father, where are you? And he'll say, I'll keep you in the secret place of the Most High, and you're about under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but in the middle of it all, none of it will come nigh you. Who am I talking to? While you're tossing and turning in the middle of the storm, the word of God will rise up in you and you'll say, peace, be still. Who am I preaching to in here? Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I got to give him praise for the process. I got to give him a thanks for the process. I got to thank him for keeping me through it all, because I figured out the only way, my God, out is through. I figured it out.
I got 10 folk that want to have church this morning. Slap your neighbor and say, I got to praise them for the process. I got to praise them for the process. Oh, come on. Look at your neighbor and say, don't underestimate my praise. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, God, I feel an anointing. I feel an anointing. I'm not trying to hype you. I'm trying to tell you what the process is. Look at your neighbor and say, don't underestimate my praise. You think this shouting is for nothing. You think this shouting is for emotion. But let me tell you, this shout confuses the enemy. This shout, my God, makes the devil wonder, how in the world do they have so much joy? This shout lets me know I'm going to make it. And the next shout is for my future. I wish I had somebody. For this has been written for the generation yet to be created, that they may praise the Lord. Somebody send a praise down the road into your future just to let the enemy know God's got that too. I feel it alone. Oh, God. Look at your neighbor and say, don't underestimate my praise. Don't underestimate my praise. I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this place. Look at your neighbor and say, excuse me, I got to praise and I got to get it out. You don't know what I face on a daily basis. You don't know what I'm expecting God to do in my life. You don't know. I feel a preach coming on in here. You have no idea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all gonna make me rush my preach. Hallelujah. Somebody shout glory. Y'all sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Let me preach this thing. You gotta have praise in the process. The process is a set of events that is going to lead you to an expected end. And if you don't have praise for the process, then the process is going to wear you out. While you're being patient, that is your opportunity to give God praise. Yeah. Because that is going to be the thing that keeps you through it. Because the only way out is through. You ain't getting out unless you go through the storm. We used to sing a song that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I feel an old school thing happening right now. Through it all, I learned to trust in God. I wish I had a church in here. You better have a praise when you're going through all sorts of adversity that says, it is well with my soul. You better have something down in the depths of your spirit. And when all hell is breaking loose, you better have a hymn that declares that the blood never loses its power. For it reaches, I feel like preaching to somebody, to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. It is the blood. I don't have a church this morning that gives me strength from day to day. It never loses its power. Look at your name and say, where's your praise, man? Where's your praise? It's like seeing another man going, where's your mustache, brother? Where's your stash, man? You don't look right without a stash. Look at your name and say, where's your praise? Bible says that Jesus likened the kingdom of God to a man that sowed seed. And the Bible says that when the man sowed seed and cast it into the ground, the Bible said he slept. Night and day. Just slip a little nudge of your elbow to your neighbor and say, you better learn how to be at peace in the process. Oh, let's preach it now. Let's preach it now. The Bible says that somebody sowed something into the ground and he didn't toil over it. He didn't labor over it, but he slept night and day. And while he was sleeping, something was growing. Look at your neighbor and say, you better learn how to be at peace in the process. God put something on the inside of you that's growing all by itself. You don't need to know how. You don't even need to know why. You don't need to know when. You just need to know who. You need to know who put the seed in there. And the Bible says he gave us an incorruptible seed that does not faint, that does not fade, that does not rub. It is incorruptible. Slap your neighbor and say, if you know who, you'll have peace. Oh, y'all got quiet. Come on here. Come on, touch him again. Wake him up and say, if you know who, you'll have peace. It's not the why. Now, why am I going through? That's irrelevant. I feel like preaching to somebody. It's not the what. It's not what I'm going through. That is irrelevant. Why is that irrelevant, Pastor? Because it's temporary. What you face at this moment will not outlast the word God gave you. For the word cannot return unto God void. It will stick around you until it accomplishes what it's supposed to do. And if it take years, then it take years, but it's going to happen. The Bible says that the Lord hastens unto his word. What does that mean? When he asked Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see an almond tree blossoming and blooming in the wintertime, which is not the season of the almond tree. In other words, I see something happening out of season. And the Lord says, you have seen well, for I will hasten after my word to perform it. If I gotta chase you down out of the time frame I said it was supposed to happen, the word is still going to come to pass in your life. Slap your neighbor and say, I feel something chasing me down. And it's a promise. It's a word from the living God. It's a word that says I'm healed by his stripes. It's a word that says I'm the head and not the tail. It's a word that says I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when I come, blessed when I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. Slap your neighbor and say, I got peace. I got peace because the word is chasing me down. You have to learn to praise in the process. You have to learn to be patient in the process. And you have to learn to be at peace in the process. The Bible says that the man sowed seed into the ground and he went to sleep night and day. You're wrestling with your hands. You're having anxiety attacks. You need volume. Don't shout me down. And don't get mad at the people that need volume. You use church as a sedative. Y'all ain't saying. I got something for everybody. For peace. Trying to find that moment of calm from the pressure. Peace is not divorced from pressure. Because you are at peace doesn't mean there's no pressure around you. I'm sorry, I gotta do a turn for myself. When the word hits you, you just go, that's good right there. I'm sorry. Just because you have peace doesn't mean, oh hell, it's not breaking loose around you. What it means is that what's happening outside is not affecting what the Lord is doing inside. God, who am I preaching to in here? Look at your neighbor and say, don't let the external, come on here, impact the internal, because what God did on the inside is greater than anything that's happening to you on the outside. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Slap your neighbor and say, you got to learn how to be at peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gave. Peace of God means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. What? It means nothing's missing. You don't get it. And nothing's broken. But Pastor, all hell's breaking loose, but nothing's missing. And nothing's broken. Oh, glory to God. Yesterday, my son, we left the window down, and we went to the movies, and left the window down in my car, you know, and that's a concern. And so I noticed, I said, oh man, I left the window down, and we get in the car, and I'm checking, and I'm like, what's missing? What's broken? And I see a few things out of place, because I have photogenic, and if I leave something there, I know it's supposed to be there. And I see a few things out of place, meaning somebody went in there and touched some stuff. And we had bags in the back. My clubs was in the trunk. And then you're talking about, like, that's personal. You mess with my golf clubs. That's personal. It's personal. It's serious business right there. And I go and I open the trunk, and I look in the back, and my clubs are there, and stuff is rearranged, but nothing's missing. Stuff is out of place, but nothing's broken. You got some windows that are down in your life, and the enemy is coming in, and he's trying to figure out what he can take, but he's got to get permission first before he can touch anything. So what he does is rearrange his stuff. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout and try to get you all bent out of shape so that you can give him permission to take. Slap your name and say, ain't gonna happen, ain't gonna happen, ain't gonna happen, ain't gonna happen, because I'm at peace. And as long as I'm at peace, nothing's missing, nothing's broken, nothing's good. He can rearrange the furniture in my house. He can rearrange my money. He can rearrange my family. He can rearrange. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting, but he won't rearrange my heart. He won't take my faith for the process. He won't convince me that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. If God said it, then it's so. The Bible says that the man slept night and day. Is this blessing anybody? The Bible says that the man slept night and day and had no concern or care for the seed, because the seed sprung up. And I love what the scripture says. He doesn't know how. He has no explanation of how it's coming. All he knows is that there's a process for it to come. He doesn't take time trying to figure out the process. All he does is note the process. He doesn't take time trying to get peace for the process. We know this because he's sleeping. We know that he has patience for the process, because when he knows the process, he gives us the levels of how it comes. I'm preaching. And we have to only imagine that because he's sleeping, he has joy in his heart for the process. That's why he could do it over time, day and night, and not have to go out there and check to see if something is about to spring up. Because he knows that somebody sold something, and it's only a matter of time before the thing begins to show up in your life. Now I'm slipping into the prophetic. Look at your neighbor and say, it's just a matter of time. While he's sleeping, he rises night and day. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, oh, glory to God. The Bible says, that meanwhile, the seed sprouts
and grows long. Can you just do me a favor? Touch your neighbor and say, meanwhile. Okay, you're going to get that in a second. Pastor, I'm having difficulty on my job. Meanwhile. Pastor, my kids lost their mind. Meanwhile. Pastor, who am I talking to? Pastor, I need help with this. Meanwhile. While you're complaining, the seed is growing long. People trip me out. They 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 trip. You don't get it. You don't get it. Okay. Why? You over here complaining. And the seed is growing long. It's not growing in some obscure place. It's growing in you. Meanwhile, I'm almost finished here. Meanwhile, the seed is growing long. Mm-hmm. And so when Jesus gives us this story, he says, this is what the kingdom of light. There's a process to the fruit I'm going to produce in your life. If you remember the economic axiom that says the poor gets poorer while the rich gets richer, this actually holds true for spiritual life. In other words, if you don't hear well, you become the have not. You lose everything that you might have, and you become mired deeper in a sloth or an indifference, or you contend with your greatest enemy, which is not the devil, and it's not your problem, but your greatest enemy will always be ignorance. For the Bible says, my people are destroyed not because of what the devil does, but they are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Slap your name and say, ignorance is my enemy. Come on here. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Because if you know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, if you know that if you gave something, it's going to be given back unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. If you know that God is not a man that he should lie. If you know there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you know, you will never be a have not. I am preaching better than y'all shall. So the parable, if you will, contains warning and promise at the same time. Here's the prophetic part. Here's the warning. You better have ears to hear. You better understand that somebody sowed something good into your life. Therefore, something good is about to happen to you. Not just right now, but every day you wake up 24/7, 365. The word of God is never off in your life. You should wake up every morning and say, hello, goodness. Y'all ain't said nothing. You should open your eyes and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. Who am I preaching to here? And be glad in it. There's a word that's been chasing me down for 3 weeks, for a month, for 1 year. I wish I had somebody in, and it's about to show up in my life. Somebody shout to God in it. I'm wearing y'all out. Give me 5 minutes and I'm out of here. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Here we go. Here we go. And the Bible then lets us know that there's this confidence in the growth of the seed, and there's confidence in the secretness of the growth. Because he doesn't know how it's growing. He just knows it's growing. Then there's confidence in the seed itself, and there's patience for the whole thing. Watch this now. And so what happens in the confidence is that because of the process, there's an automatic reaction and action of the soil. In other words, the soil begins to produce, and it doesn't do it all at once. The Bible says first, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. First, the earth bringeth forth its fruit of herself. Touch your neighbor and say, it's growing all by itself. I don't have no help in here. Meaning, there ain't nothing you can do. That's why you should praise him in the middle of the process and be patient and be at peace, because it ain't your seed. I wish I had somebody in here. Look at your name and say, it's growing all by itself. When my wife got pregnant with Olivia, Michael was different. Michael, my wife was in labor for 2 hours. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. 8 hours with Mike. Mike was born at 2:17 on December the 12th. I'll never forget it. Because in each case, my wife wanted a midwife for her pregnancies. And she didn't want, she wanted to be natural. She just wanted to be Wonder Woman, not have an epidural. It's just something she wanted to do. And I was like, all right, babe, whatever, you know, hey, I ain't got to push the thing out, so I support whatever your decision is, it's, you know. And so she did it naturally with Mike, nothing, no drug, no epidural, no nothing. Just, you know, not induced, nothing. And the midwives and the doctor left the hospital, and it was my wife and I in the room, and she's still pushing. And I'm like, why y'all leaving? She's pushing, y'all left. Everybody left, and I had to run out down the hallway and say, hey guys, I see something coming up out of there. I'm gonna need y'all to come on. And so the midwife come running back in, and sure enough, Mike's head is just dangling, just hanging out, just I can't get help. And she pushes one more time, and just in time for the midwife to literally catch Mike. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, that's incredible. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's the two of us walked in here, three of us walked out. That is a miracle. That is amazing. It's incredible. When my wife got pregnant with Liv, she wanted a midwife again. And so we had a midwife. And the midwife, I was on the phone with the midwife. My wife was, we were in our apartment. And my wife called me. I was at work. She says, baby, my water just broke. I said, I'm on my way home. Got home. Had the whole plan. Had the bag. All that stuff. Plan ready. But the plan don't work when you're in the middle of the process. And so I get home and when I get home, my wife is just, she's walking around, she's hot, you know, and she's going through all the stuff that, you know, y'all go through. She said, call the midwife. I called the midwife and said, hey, we need to get to the hospital right now. She says, no, these are just the stages of labor. She's just in, no, it's not going to happen yet. Calm down. You know, then she go, oh, well, how far dilated? I'm not a doctor. I don't know how far. I'm not down there talking about, let me see. I don't know. I said, her water's broken. Her stomach done dropped about a foot from the top to the bottom. And she is grunting and she is pushing. It's time. And the midwife going, Mr. Phillips, calm down, relax. We've gone through this. We've discussed this. She's just in labor. You probably have a few more hours so she can relax. Lay her down. If she's have some discomfort, get her in the tub. Well, I did. I ran the tub. I got her in the tub. She gets in the tub, and she's in the tub going, ugh. I'm like, lady, she's about to have this child in this water. Y'all better come. And so I get her out the tub, get a bathrobe on her. She takes my wife just, you know, she ain't want nothing on her. She kicks it off. It's a funny scene, and we're sitting there, and she's in the middle of the hallway, standing up, and I'm like, lady, I'm on the phone with the midwife. I said, lady, my wife is having a child. I'm calling 911. I can't talk to you right now. Hung up. Called 911, and when I called 911, I said, my wife is in labor. She's having a baby. You got to trace the call, and I threw the phone down. That's exactly what I did. and I threw the, I didn't even know if they had capacity to trace the call, but I threw the phone down and they traced the call. And my wife is in the middle of the hallway with her back up against the wall, and she is pushing and she is pushing. And I'm sitting there looking at her, and my eyes are as big as the state of Texas. Y'all ain't said nothing. And sure enough, Liv comes flying out of my wife, and I caught my daughter. Y'all ain't said nothing. Right there in the middle of the hallway. Come on, somebody. And we're sitting there looking at each other like, did that just happen? Now, in my version, you know, I was James Bond, cool type. But in reality, I was going, Jesus! God help me, Lord Jesus, Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus! My wife was the coolest person on the face of the planet. She looked at Liv and lifted up her leg and said, oh, it's a girl, and then sat down like she did nothing. Sat down talking about, is the 911 on their way? And I'm looking at her like, yes. What am I trying to say to you? Just like birth, man, if God puts something in there, it ain't nothing you can do. Nothing you can say. That thing coming forth whenever it gets ready to come forth. The Bible says the man was asleep because he knew God put something in there, and it was coming when the time was upon you. I came to prophetically declare to somebody, the time is now and the harvest has come. Ain't nothing you can say about it. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Ain't nothing your enemy can do about it. It is here. It's not on the way. Put in the sickle and reap. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, it's reaping time. It's reaping time. As a matter of fact, I want you to find five people that are in your row and give them a high five and shake their hand and say, it's reaping time. It's reaping time. Come on, do it till you get anointed. Do it till you wake them up and say, it's reaping time. It's reaping time. For everything I've been through, it's reaping time. For everything God promised, it's reaping time. For everything God said, it's harvest time. For every seed I've sown, it's reaping time. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, put in the sickle and reap the harvest, baby. You better prophetically declare, I'm reaping. Do what I do. You better prophetically declare, I'm reaping right now, right now, right now. Every seed sown, every prayer prayed, every praise given, every word declared, I'm reaping, I'm reaping, I'm reaping, I'm reaping a hundredfold, 60-fold. Don't just look at me. Somebody give him praise for it like you believe it. Give him praise for it like you believe it. Give him praise for it like you believe it. Give him praise for it like you believe it. Look at your neighbor and say, I see something. Come on here. Faith comes by hearing. It never comes by what you see. But during the process, there comes a time where you begin to see something. And what you begin to see does not look like harvest. First is the ear. Y'all ain't said nothing. So what you see is something small. But that something small is about to turn into an entire harvest. First the ear. Then the blade. Then the full ear. In the blade. And once that happens, the Bible says, harvest is come. Look at your neighbor and say, I see something. It ain't what I want yet, but it's about to be everything I need. Come on, look at somebody else and say, I see something. It ain't what I want yet, but it's about to be everything I need. And because I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, I feel like preaching. I'm going to give God praise for what I see at this moment. I see a future so bright, I got to put on shades. I see a breakthrough that's about to occur. I see a miracle that's about to take place. And because I see something, I'm going to give God praise for what I see. Somebody give God praise for it. Take your neighbor by the hand all across the room. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there, y'all. I came on Father's Day to prophetically declare this. Harvest is come. What? I'm not, I'm in the right place. I'm in the right room. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right moment. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right moment. I'm telling you I am. Because the enemy will fight you in the process and convince you. Listen to me. Convince you that what God promised is never going to happen. The stuff God has shown me, the stuff he's called me to do is of such great magnitude. I constantly have to fight what I see. And I constantly have to fight ignorance. And I have to remind myself of what I know of the God I serve. It's not the what, it's not the when, it's not the why, it's the who. It's the who. You're standing next to somebody that's believing God for great things. You're standing next to somebody that a word, a seed has been spoken in their life that is going to produce. Not, oh God, I hear you. I hear you. Not something that's 5 years down the road. Not something that's a year down the road. I'm talking about it is here. Just let me speak prophetically. It is here. It is here. It is here. God, who am I talking? It is here. It is here. It's not coming. It's here. And what the enemy wants is for you to be unraveled and not at peace, not patient and not praising God, so that you miss what is here. Because you'll be so oblivious to the fact, you'll drive right past the harvest. Who am I talking to? So the reason why you have that hand is because we're going to do a corporate thing and bind the enemy on a corporate level and defeat him in every mind and in every heart on a corporate level. So look at your neighbor and say, I need you right now. And you need me. The Bible says one can chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight. If we continue on that math, then 3 would equal 100,000 and 4 then would multiply to 1,000,000. There are much more than 4 people in this room. I know how many people this church sits, and by my calculation, there's about 600 people in this room right now. You do the math. How many things can we put to flight right now and remove blind spots? Oh, God. And remove hedges and remove things that are trying to hide and conceal your harvest. And remove people. I hear you, Lord. And remove people who have been blocking the harvest of God in your life. I heard that thing just as clear as day. God is about to remove some people who have been hindrances to your harvest. I don't know who that's for. So, look at your name one more time. Say, I need you right now. This ain't the placate. We gotta go. This ain't the placate. This ain't the mess around. You are going to praise the Lord with the person that is next to you, and the person that is next to you, and the person that is next to you, and the person that is next to you. And you're gonna praise God for the harvest. Come on now. Y'all don't even sound like you want to praise him. Now, I need you to lose your church facade. I'm serious. I need you to lose your religion at this moment of you trying to be so holy. I need you to lose the fact that you ain't been in church in a while. Nobody cares. You're here right now. Come on. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You're here now. It doesn't matter if you don't know how to praise God. Open your mouth. We're going to give God the highest praise. That is the word hallelujah. It means to celebrate Jehovah. That's what it means. And when we shout hallelujah on the count of three, the harvest is going to show up in your life. I prophetically declare it right now in the name of Jesus. All you got to do is obey what the man of God is saying do right now. That is, open your mouth and say hallelujah on the count of three, and you're going to walk smack dab into the middle of the harvest of your life. Is anybody here what I'm saying? On three. Are you ready? My God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit in here. One. The devil is a liar. Oh, the devil is a liar. He's been trying to put a shroud over this harvest. It ain't going to happen. The devil is a liar. I feel that anointing. Come on, let's break the back of the devil, too. Let's break the back of every principality and power. Come on, let's break the back of our adversary. One, two, three, shout.